Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, joined by Will.
Yo.
And we have a returning guest host from Portland. We have Joshua. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
We fell a little bad last week, Joshua, because we talked about Anthem heavily. And you weren't included on that, so you have about 30 seconds to chime in what you think of Anthem.
All right, so some of the things that I am thinking about Anthem is it's getting an unfair rap, unfair comparison to Destiny. The loot system is comparable, and I feel like the only reason that people are comparing it to Destiny is because the Storm has its elemental powers. The entire gameplay is going to be completely different. The vertical traversing of the map, the playability is just going to be, you know, there are two different worlds, and it's going to feel that way, especially with this new IP coming from BioWare, who's an expert in creating amazing worlds.
Yes, I really hope you're right with that in terms of it being different, because Destiny was garbage. today we're going to talk about everything coming up in Q1, Q2 in terms of games, and we have a pretty big year. Optimistic that it's going to be one of the best in a while. 2018 was kind of a bust, personally. I don't know about you guys.
It was good for Nintendo and, like, the Switch, but I think Microsoft and PlayStation kind of dropped the ball this year.
I concur. Agreed. Yeah. All right. Anyways, all that coming up right now. Yeah. Right now. Alright, so Q1 has a couple of exciting games coming out. I'm sure we're on three different websites. I'm on Business Insider right now, the 29 hottest games that you shouldn't miss in 2019. I don't know about you guys. What are you on?
I'm on Shaq News because I was trying to find something that had a schedule month by month.
I'm on the same as you, Rodney, but I also got my own little guy that I miss.
So this seems to go in chronological order, but who knows? So PAX last year, there's a lot of teased things, such as Resident Evil 2 and Metro and a bunch of other games like that that are coming out here in January and or February. So Cole actually was telling us last night, we just recorded our Smash-a-thon game show last night, and it was a good-ass hoot, Will.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't expect Mark to beat me.
Spoilers, jeez. We had about seven people. Actually, we had eight people. We forced somebody in at the last moment, and then he lost right away, so whatever. The repercussions of losing was they had to drink a shot that I made, and I totally just threw a bunch of things in a shot glass. I didn't put any science behind it at all.
Yeah, I'll attest that they weren't very good shots.
Yeah, so my heart was not in it.
You need to go back to mixology, Rodney.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, okay? So So I just like that looks like a nice color, and yeah, it was good. Anyways, so look forward to that. It'll be released a little bit towards the end of the month, and we'll put that on our website, videogamesnow.com or .ca. Sorry, .ca. .com is too expensive. Did you know that the videogames.com domain name is going for $2,400?
That's expensive.
Yeah, videogamesnow.ca was like $30. So I'm like, well, that's an obvious choice. So, and the, yeah, there's other video game domain names out there that are super expensive. They're going for like $12,000.
It's probably because someone used to own them beforehand.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
People like to buy those sort of things. That way they can sell them at an up mark later in the market.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure people who have even tried to find our website go to videogamesnow.com, and then it takes them to a webpage that's like, you need to buy this domain name for $2,400, and you're like, I'd rather not.
Yeah,
but all right, so anyways, back to Q1 here. So yeah, Resident Evil 2 is coming out January 25th of the 19, and it's gonna be released to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC. So Mark was raving about, I never played this game at PAX, but Mark was raving
Mark
about
and Brooks.
Yeah,
they played it twice.
Out of all the games they could have played twice, they picked Resident Evil 2. It's just a remastered, so whatever. I don't know if we told this story on the air yet, Will, about PAX, but we were me and Will are pretty synchronized in terms of like our schedules and all that kind of stuff. So we get up at the same time. We're waiting in line. We know exactly what we want to do. We're on top of our own schedule. And then Mark and Brooks, and then Mark and Brooks tag along, and they're just the most disorganized nitwits. I can't even put it into words. Like,
didn't get out of bed till like 10.
Solid.
Yeah, so Will and I have already explored the show floor for like an hour, and Mark and Brooks are just getting in the door, and we're like, dudes. And then me and Will are like gunning it to the next booth, and we turn around, and we're like, okay, they're there. And then we walk like four steps, turn around, and they're gone. We're like, fuck them. Leave them. We're just going to do our own
thing.
That
was day one, too. Yeah. That's when we decided we're just doing our own thing.
Yeah. So, and then we only met up with them, I think, once or twice in the whole thing, but we were sharing a hotel room with them, which was not a nice experience.
Yeah, they were down there more to party and stuff like that, so they were all, I had the couch right by the like the front area, and they were always out.
Yeah, until like 3 in the morning, and then they slept till 10. Waste of money. Anyways, whatever. We went there to see video games, then they went there to play Fortnite and party.
Yeah, at least stayed at that Fortnite booth a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways,
time.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, so Resident Evil 2 coming out for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC. Actually, before we get too deep into the games, do you guys think there's going to be any sort of a new or updated console from any of the main guys this year?
Actually, I wanted to bring that up. You know the game Project Cars?
Yep.
The developer, he got some bad backlash for it, but last week on his Twitter, he announced something. Well, he kind of teased it, called the Mad Box.
Oh, yeah? What's that about?
And now, Project Cars 1 and 2, they made the company a mad amount of money. And I don't know if he's joking about it or whatnot, but let me see if I can find actually the article here. The Mad Box, if I remember correctly.
Well, I watched a YouTube video the other day, and they were going on about how much different the Xbox One X is from the original Xbox. And
yeah.
And I commented, you know, like the direction that we're going, it seems like we're just going to get a little box, like basically what you're saying, and then it was just going to be a stream platform.
Yeah. Here it is. The tweet Ian Bell sent out. What is the Mad Box? ? It's the most powerful console ever built. It's literally mad. You want 4K? You want VR at 60 frames per second? You want a full engine for free to develop your games on it? You now have it.
Wow.
So no one really knows. Like, I'm looking at this one here. This article's on TechRadar.com. Is there room for another video games console on the markets? Slightly Mad Studios, the developer behind hit racing sims Project Cars and Need for Speed Shift, seem to think so. It's supposed to Just talking about the tweet that Ian Bell sent out, but blah, 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 blah. There's not much to go on yet, but the specter of another high-powered next-generation console to compete with the PS5 or Xbox 2 is enough to get some attention.
If they call it the Xbox 2, that's fucking bad marketing. That's shitty marketing.
But so far, like, this company here, Slightly Mad Games, if they do release this console, how is that going to work? Because they're a game studio that is starting to kind of publish their own stuff, but they're not going to be able to get titles like Xbox and Xbox and PlayStation.
Well, yeah, because I think Xbox definitely is going to go to the stream. The streaming, basically Xbox Game Pass is going to be the next gen console. Like, that's all there's going to be. There's not going to be any more hardware games. It's going to be all streaming it with a subscription service, because that seems to be what the world's going to now, with like Netflix and Crave TV and all those other kind of streaming things.
I can completely see that in the future, but I still feel like, as long as, you know, people who have been around before streaming video games are going to want their hard copies, and I think that that's not going to go away in a decent amount of time. I don't think that's next gen. I'm thinking that's probably, I don't know, 20 years from now. 2040, I'm calling it.
And I feel like it'll be the same sort of deal with GameStop and EB Games in terms of, like, Blockbuster went out of business as soon as, like, Netflix and all those other stream companies hit the market. So I think
EB could still stay afloat, though, and same with, like, GameSpot, just by selling merchandise, though.
I think that was really smart of them to get into that business as well, actually.
EB Games is dead in the United States, or as far as anyone else is concerned. There's probably, you know, one or two here and there. Like, there's two Blockbusters or one Blockbuster left in all of America, or all of the United States and Alaska. But EB Games shut down a decade or so ago.
But in Canada, that's all we have. All we have is EB Games.
Yeah.
So they're everywhere. There's probably like at least 30 in our area.
Mm. Yeah, there's GameStops still here, but I've been hearing that at least on the U.S. market, they're not doing so hot.
All right, so that's the next gen console, hopefully. The Scarlet or whatever. I don't know if that's supposed to be this year or 2020.
They never said anything, and we don't have a lot of information about it other than them teasing it. So we'll have to wait and see what they do with E3 this year.
Yeah, we'll see if we can dig for some for some more information on that for another podcast.
And unfortunately, the Soldier Boy console has been sued due to copyright issues. So that
saw
will
that
not be
coming.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Soulja Boy made a console.
Oh, you need to Google it, man. And apparently he just got into a car crash like 13 seconds ago, according to Twitter. So.
Oh, okay. Well, damn it. I was about to make a joke about Soulja Boy, but I guess I won't. Anyway, so, Resident Evil 2 we talked about. Kingdom Hearts 3 is another big one. I've never played Kingdom Hearts 3 because it's only ever been released on the PlayStation, as far as I know.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. But this one's also going to be available on the Xbox One, apparently.
Oh, but also it was on the 3DS and DS and all that.
Oh, right, it was. Well, I never played it because, honestly, I just really didn't know what it was about.
Kingdom Hearts is one of those, like, I don't really know the name for it, but it takes all sorts of things. Like, it takes the Final Fantasy, it takes, you know, Disney, and it ties all sorts of plots together, and it's really difficult to keep together. So here's some quick facts about it. It's the 16th installment in the Kingdom Hearts saga. It's the first Xbox appearance. Six other games have been deemed relevant to the plot, which is some bullshit. It's been 13 years since Kingdom Hearts 2.
Really? 13 years?
Everything else. What was that?
Really? 13 years?
13 years since Kingdom Hearts 2. And it's gonna be a good game, but it's gonna be hard to follow for everybody who wasn't into the minor games of Kingdom Hearts. Reading about how to keep up with the plot for Kingdom Hearts 3, it's not going to be simple. You're probably going to need to Google a little bit about what they're talking about, because I remember when I was playing Kingdom Hearts 2, it wasn't the easiest to follow around because there were people that were popping up that you hadn't heard of before, and they were talking about them like they were relevant. So you're going to need to do a little homework if you really want to follow the plot closely.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously Disney's involved. This is like Disney's video game cash cow.
With Square Enix, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. What's the first one on? PS1 or whatever?
I believe that it was... let me pull up the Kingdom Hearts... series. You can find it on...
Wasn't it PlayStation 2?
I mean, that makes more sense, honestly. PlayStation 1 was like... Yeah, I don't even know. It was like a 64, but for Sony.
Kingdom Hearts, the first one, came out for the PlayStation 2, yes. Yeah. There's been 16 games. Most of them have been on handheld games, such as Nintendo 3DS. There's one that was developed for Verizon Wireless. I don't know. It gets pretty confusing about like what they released for. They're released on several consoles.
Interesting. So, I might actually try out Kingdom Hearts 3. But you know what? I might try to go back and see if I can play the other ones before I move forward, just to get a little... Well, there's 16, you said, but are the other ones just kind of spin-offs? And then, so should I just play the main, like, 1 and 2 and 2.5 or whatever?
I can't speak on the other games, but I do know that they're, that some of them focus on the major character... major protagonist Sora, but I believe a lot of them also focus on other characters. Some of the games that are named that are going to be relevant to the plot of Kingdom Hearts 3 is 358/2 Days, Recoded, maybe Birth by Sleep.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll check it out. It'll be good. All right, so let's move on into February now. February 15th, Far Cry New Dawn. Super stoked about this game. I think we briefly talked about it on the podcast before, Will.
Yeah, I still haven't played 5, but I have a bit of time still to get that done.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. So a new Far Cry game, didn't one of those come out in 2018? Yep, that game was Far Cry 5, and it came back out. It came out back in late March on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The open-world first-person shooter was set in America for the first time ever, featuring a new antagonist, a maniacal cult leader with nuclear ambitions. Far Cry New Dawn is a sequel to that game set in post-apocalyptic Montana 17 years after the events of Far Cry 5. Really? That's a long jump. The trailer alludes to a period of extreme weather following a nuclear detonation, eventually leading to a new world. A world where people shoot saw blades from crossbows, apparently. Cool. Yep. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I said sounds scary.
Yeah, Far Cry 5 was really freaking good. But I don't see how they could be 17 years after that game.
Well, they're trying to push the post-apocalyptic thing, so they needed time for the weather and the world to decay.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
You're probably playing a new protagonist.
Yeah, I'd imagine that.
Yes, you are, I believe.
Alright, so moving on from that, we have Dead or Alive 6. Fighting game renaissance is in full swing, and Dead or Alive is the next major fighting series to get a new entry in 2019. Dead or Alive 6 continues the tradition of dozens of Dead or Alive games before it, featuring 3D fighting focus on counters and parries. So,
I'm going to say one thing right off the bat, because that's the picture showing for this, unfortunately. Do you guys remember Dead or Alive Extreme Volleyball?
No.
Yes.
Do I wanna?
All I'm thinking about Dead or Alive is that one. So,
yeah.
So I don't know what else came with And I don't know what else to expect except boobs.
Yeah,
boobs.
All right, so that also comes out on February 15th, but I think between Dead or Alive 6 and Far Cry New Dawn, I'm going to be getting Far Cry New Dawn for sure.
There's a couple other games coming out February 15th. There's Crackdown 3 and Metro Exodus.
Yeah, absolutely. Metro Exodus looks fantastic on the PC from what I played at PAX. Cole's going to get this game for sure. And when does it come out? February 22nd. Cole might 15th. Join... Metro Exodus?
Yeah.
Oh, it says here the February 22nd it comes out.
What was that?
February 22nd is what I have here for when it comes out.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, maybe I'm looking at it.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe they pushed it back a week.
Maybe they pulled it back. If it comes out on the 15th, that's great. Cole might actually stream that because I'm actually going to be away from February 3rd to the the 17th. So I'll be like out of the country. So we might record a couple of extra podcasts and then just schedule them to get released so you guys have some Video Games Now content while I'm away. So yeah, hopefully Cole can stream that for us while I'm away.
One of the biggest things, according to what I was looking into it was that this Metro adds a sandbox element. Apparently it was really linear, like the Halo... in terms of its story, and now they're making it more towards, you know, the Far Cries and everything else of being able to find your own way to your destination.
Right. Okay. The demo that I played at PAX was actually a lot of fun. It didn't feel linear at all. It felt like, you know, I'm going into a bandit camp or whatever, and then you kind of look and you can figure out where people are standing and how you're going to tackle the camp, basically. It was really cool. But I know you can definitely change this for sure, but they had the melee set to like V, and that's the most awkward goddamn button to hit ever for a melee. So because you're on the WSD keys, and then you have to basically like split your fucking finger off from your hand to hit V to melee and a pinch.
Your thumb? I mean, it's sitting right there on the space bar.
I don't know. I'm not tailored enough in the PC world to attempt that. I'm just trying to attempt it right now on my Mac board, but it's awkward. It would have been way better to have it on the mouse, personally.
I would have had it on C if you had to. I mean, really, just on my hand.
Yeah.
C is more comfortable than B. But yeah, the Metro Exodus gameplay looked really exciting. I've never played a Metro game, so in terms of like a post-apocalyptic monster world, it looks pretty cool.
It looked cool in terms of the play of the gameplay of it. I don't remember there being any sort of like abilities or anything like that. Like you literally just have a gun, and you go and you know try to loot. You basically try to survive. In the wilderness, from what I was gathering,
that's how Metro works. Is like you'll have like a flashlight, but it usually has to be charged. You'll have like a lighter, a compass, and that's all you get.
So it's like a realistic survival game minus the monsters.
Yeah, like you have like I can't remember the meter, but it tells you about radiation and stuff like that. So it'll go off, and if you're in like a high radiation area, you have to wear like a gas mask. But you also have to make sure you can find the filter replacements.
Shit. So you got to manage a lot of stuff, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's move on here to the... we skipped over Anthem because we already talked about it. Crackdown 3.
Yes.
Crackdown 3. So, go ahead.
This game is going to be extremely exciting, especially for people who have Xbox Game Pass, because this is... a brand new title going immediately to Game Pass. I do have Game Pass myself. I know we were discussing streaming being the future, but I do have it. So I'm definitely going to be playing this until Anthem drops. Terry Crews being a playable character is about all you need to know in order to know that this is going to be an exciting and fun game. Just to listen to... the protagonist as he goes forward in the story. You know, there's everything classical, Crackdown, you know, comic book world, ridiculous skills, ridiculous abilities. I can't remember if you're able to destroy buildings, but you're able to, like, jump off buildings, throw giant shockwaves through the ground, destroying all sorts of, you know, causing mayhem.
Yeah.
It's the third installment. People have been waiting, I think, 8 years for this game to come out.
A long time.
8 or 9 years.
Yep.
And I'm definitely excited for this game.
Yeah, it's, I think it was either the second one or the first one, when I bought my 360 off of my friend. Yeah, he gave me Crackdown, either one or two, I can't remember. But, yeah, so it was a lot of fun. I had fun doing it. I didn't get that far into it because I think the other game I wanted was like Halo 3 or something, so I bought that and then played the shit out of that instead. But yeah, I remember having a lot of fun playing it.
Just so you know, the video game came out, Crackdown came out in 2007, which was around the time that Halo 3 came out, and Crackdown 2 came out in July 2010. So
yeah, it would have been the first one then.
Yeah, good game.
Anyway, so by the way, I think I said this already, but I pre-ordered the I pre-ordered Anthem, so that gives me access to the beta, which is yes. January 25th to the 27th. So I'll be definitely playing that. And Josh, you said you pre-ordered Anthem as well?
Yes, I did.
On the Xbox?
And I will be spending as many hours as possible playing that video game. It'll be the new Destiny in terms of the crave to play it, like Destiny 1. You know, I poured ridiculous amounts of hours into that game, and I will be doing the same for Anthem.
Nice. You got it for Xbox, yeah?
Yes, I did.
Cool. So Will's going to pre-order it for Xbox, and then we'll all play the beta together. We'll stream it.
Sounds good. Sweet.
Cole said he might get it, so...
Awesome. We'll have a fourth.
Yeah. Joel's getting it, for sure.
But do we want to play with Joel?
Who knows?
I'd rather play with Cole than Joel.
Me too.
All right, that settles that. All right. So moving on here, we have Trials Rising. The Trials series is years deep at this point and is still a surprising delight. The game is pretty straightforward. Carefully pilot a dirt bike through precarious stages that are rife with traps and pitfalls. What the fuck does rife mean? Are we going to have another English lesson like last time?
I think it means right. Plentiful.
Yeah, abundant.
We're unchecked in an unchecked or widespread manner, especially of something desirable or harmful of common occurrence or widespread. Yeah, so it means a lot. Yeah, better way for that. Okay, yay. Just so we know how to say it properly.
Rife.
All right. Okay. Good. All right. Anyway, so if you spend any time watching bikes or motorbike-based trials, you're no doubt familiar with what this game series is all about. Precision movement is extremely dangerous setting. Trials take that formula and turn it into a risk-free video game, and then it adds massive, ridiculous explosions. Boom. So it doesn't look like something that interests me personally.
It's more about the challenge, I think, for a lot of people.
Okay. That comes out February 22nd. 26, sorry, I had to think about if I said that wrong. February 26th on Xbox One, PlayStation, PC, and Nintendo Switch. It's going to be feckin' awesome. So, Devil May Cry also comes out. We're into March now, March 8th. Early 2019 is going to be a riff. Going to be riff. You put it in two separate game things. It's going to be riff with slick-looking third-person action games, and Devil May Cry 5 is a perfect example. Series is known for its ultra-stylish characters, deep fighting system, and over-the-top settings. If the first trailer for the game is any indication, Devil May Cry 5 takes those ideas and runs with them, and then leaps into the air and murders like 24 flying demons. Alright, so I've never played a Devil May Cry game, so this is probably all your guys's.
So, I've never played the previous Devil May Cry games, but I was able to get my hand on the demo for the Xbox One exclusive, or maybe timed exclusive demo. And I can tell you, that it was a lot of fun. I'm not very big, or I wasn't previously into hack and slash, but this gameplay was solid. It explains what you're supposed to do really well. It doesn't explain the lore too much, but playing as the I think his name is Nero. He's the short-haired, white-haired protagonist, and it was an exciting game. You get to have these really cool combos on your enemies, knocking them into the air and slashing them into bits. It has solid comedy in a dark and twisted world. It says that it's going to be a true sequel to DMC4 for the hardcore fans. I think that it's definitely going to be worth the playthrough.
Awesome. That's good to know. Depends on what I'm doing around March, and how much money I have. And I might
probably work.
Yeah.
Also, the last information that I had about DMC5 has it releasing in April 15th, according to the source I was looking at. So it sounds like it's a bit of a rolling release, because right. There's still all sorts of different release dates online.
New York City, that's an old hat. In Division 2, you're heading straight into the nation's capital to straighten out some bad guys from a third-person perspective. So, keeping on the third-person bandwagon, as in the first Division game players group up online to tackle missions, it's reminiscent of games like Destiny and the upcoming Anthem, third-person shooter with a focus on cooperative play online. So, the Division was hot or cold for a lot of people, I remember.
You got anything, Will?
Yeah, like, I played The Division when it first came out. I enjoyed it for the first bit, and then it just got very repetitive. There wasn't anything to do. I never went back to the game after that, but my friends did when they started doing the expansions, and then they said it got really, like, it was a well-made game.
Oh, so, with the expansions, you mean, Will?
Yeah.
Okay.
For myself, I went back to the game when they did their initial expansion into essentially the dungeons, or at least that's how it came off to me. I wasn't a huge fan of the game after for end game content. I didn't really enjoy anything after I completed the story, and I wasn't a huge fan of the PvP. But from Massive Entertainment, they claim that they've learned from their mistakes. They've taken the game, they've pulled it out of New York City, they've put it in DC. The buildings are lower, which improves sniping and maneuvering around the map. There's more open space, hopefully leading to a more diverse battlefield. The game graphics look great. Watching the initial gameplay trailer, you have these four very tactical friends or developers of the game, and they sound really into it. It sounds exciting, but it's something that you're going to need to keep an eye on. I wouldn't pre-order this one. I would wait for some reviews to come out before I actually pick this one up, because the hype around The Division 1 was very real. I remember being so excited about a tactical shooter, and it fell flat. So I'm going to wait a month or two to hear what the game's like in the end game.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to wait for reviews as well. I'm not really sold on it, just from how the first one was perceived and yeah, so.
Yeah. There's a couple other big titles, though, for March as well.
Absolutely. I'm looking at Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Yep.
The folks behind the Souls series and the 2014 Incredibles Bloodborne are back at it, only this time instead of the, I don't know how to say that word, C-T-H-U-L. Yeah. Let's put it into Google. Copy. Paste.
Sounded like you spelled Cthulhu.
It's Maybe it's C-T-H-U-L-U.
That's Cthulhu.
Cthulhu?
The beast from the ocean, the octopus monster with wings. He's like, God, I can't remember. He's like pagan lore.
Interesting. Never heard of him, actually. Anyways, only this time, instead of Cthulhu-inspired Victorian setting, the new game takes place in feudal Japan. In Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, I don't know why I can't not read Japanese words without putting some sort of Japanese-like accent in it.
I'll call it Sekiro.
Sekiro. You play as a ninja out for justice, like previous third-person action games from the folks at From Software. Sekiro promises to be extremely difficult. Any enemy you take down, and your best bet is to be careful. Tactically take down each foe. Unlike previous From Software games, Sekiro features a major stealth component as well as a ton of mobility, as seen above. So, frankly speaking, it looks rad as shit. So I remember the E3 trailer of this game got me and Will just like super stoked.
Yeah, but then I remembered who the developers are, and I remember throwing a controller at a wall for Dark Souls 2.
Yes, this is true. What are your thoughts?
But for people who like Dark Souls, this game will probably be unlike any other. In my opinion, this game looks to fulfill an epic in the traditional definition, like the Iliad, the Odyssey. It's going to be a game style that's new. It's going to be a grandiose experience that For Honor couldn't deliver in its samurai versus knights versus Vikings. In my opinion, it looks like, in terms of hack and slasher, like this game. I mean, I'm not an expert in hack and slasher, but this would be my choice personally if I were looking for an amazing single player experience in a hack and slasher.
Well, once you get tired of the hack and slasher, you can move on to hand-to-hand combat with Mortal Kombat 11. New to Mortal Kombat is on the way from the same folks who have been making Mortal Kombat for the last 20-plus years. creative director Ed Boon and the team at NetherRealm Studios in Chicago. Boon himself revealed the debut trailer on stage during the Game Awards, which predominantly featured franchise favorite Scorpion, seen above, and Raiden. No gameplay was shown, but that's coming in January. The gameplay, not the game. Yeah. So, this game's coming out April 23rd, 2019 on all the things. What are your... You've been a Mortal Kombat fan for a while, Will?
Yeah, going back to, like, the original Mortal Kombat on... was that the Saturn or the Genesis?
Is that where Ken's from? I can't remember.
No, Ken is Street Fighter.
Oh, Street Fighter, okay. I never played any of those fighting games. I wasn't interested.
Mortal Kombat's very gory and more adult than any other fighting game, so I don't think there's going to be a crossover with Nintendo anytime soon.
Well, it's coming out on the Switch.
It says the first two Mortal Kombats were arcade games, so big blocky motherfuckers.
Yeah. But I remember they came out on the Sega, too. I just can't remember what console.
I'm looking for you.
Boom, bum, 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 bum. Just going to sing the song while I wait. Anyway, while you guys look that up, we'll move on to the next piece here. So
in March, though, you forgot, at least this is what I'm excited for, is One Piece World Seeker.
Oh, right, the next One Piece game for all the things, right?
Yeah, but it's the RPG one that I showed you. Remember?
Yes, yeah, I remember.
With, like, Luffy using his powers to, like, float over.
It's completely open world, is that right?
Yep.
Nice. It takes place
on a place called Prison Island or something, following like a new story.
Right. Yeah, the last game I played from the One Piece series was One Piece Red on the Nintendo the Wii U.
Yeah. The one thing that like got me even more excited about this is apparently the CP9 are supposed to be involved, so that might mean there's a tease of Rob Lucci.
Oh, shit. Well, they're CP0 now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they are, but still, like, man, I'd love to do that fight.
I don't know. It wouldn't feel the same in the game as it did in the anime. That fight was so good.
They're trying to make this game take place like following the anime story, so you would have already fought in Rob Lucci, right?
And okay.
Rob probably got stronger now too because you've got Gear 4th.
Yep.
So, I think that would be a cool fight to even do in the video game.
Interesting. There it is. Anyway, so moving on now, Mr. Will, we have Days Gone. Days Gone is a Sons of Anarchy meets 28 Days Later. You play as a lone biker surviving in the wake of a global pandemic. Billions were wiped out, and many millions more became freakers. That's zombies to you and me. So, you know, it's interesting to see how each game changes the... Instead of just using the generic zombie word, they, like, make up their own kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some sort of like tradition in that though. I can't remember what it was, copyright issues or something, but it's sort of like a rule in a zombie movie or a zombie game where they don't use the word zombie.
Yeah. Trying to do two things at once here. Anyways, so what other game? The Last of Us, didn't they? I haven't played it yet, so don't fucking kill me. I don't have a PS. They have zombies, yeah? Or no? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. What were they called in that game?
I can't remember. Let's see.
Have you played? Do you have a PS, Josh?
I do. I watched. Back in 2013, I watched someone do the full playthrough of The Last of Us because he had the PS4, I didn't. I was a lonely 19-year-old living in the barracks. So I watched one of my friends play through, and I can't remember what they were called. The biggest, just getting back to the game of Days Gone, my personal opinion is that this game had me really excited for about a year and a half, but with all the delays, because I think this was supposed to come out late 2017 or 2018.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really late game to be releasing into the market after it's been advertised for 2+ years. It has an amazing zombie mechanic, but as far as I can see, that's the only thing it adds to a very saturated market in both video games and movies.
Right. Okay.
They were called The Infected.
The Infected.
Well, that's kind of boring, honestly.
Yeah.
All right, so... God damn you and your... All right, anyways. So, moving on here. Number 14 on this list, Rage 2. I'm imagining it even says here, if Mad Max were an ongoing series of video games, it might look something like the Rage franchise. It's set in a very familiar post-apocalypse, where gangs of extremely theatrical.
Did you like me reading it? Send me the link.
No, it's theatrical. I just couldn't freaking find the right vowels in there. It's set in a very familiar post-apocalypse where gangs of extremely theatrical-looking survivors endlessly battle for control of the remaining world around them. There are scrappy-looking off-road vehicles to battle in, and horrific mutated creatures and a whole bunch of crazy-looking guns. I don't know. I wasn't a big Mad Max fan because I haven't watched it, so I can't really shit on it. This game doesn't look interesting to me. I don't know about you guys.
I'm interested. I played the first one, so I'm really excited.
What did you
I'm do? Oh, go excited ahead. As well. I was going to let Will go ahead first.
Will?
Oh. Well, basically, like, in Rage 1, the one thing that didn't really work for it, because they kind of promised, like, open world, but the only areas, like, that you could fully just do whatever you wanted were, like, the beginning. As soon as you went in advance in the game, it became a lot more linear of what you could choose to do, where Rage 2 kind of looks like it's full-on open world, and you just do whatever the fuck you care about.
Right. Okay.
In my opinion, it feels... Rage 1, I had a lot of fun times. There's a really good racing mechanic in Rage 1, and there is a really good combat style. And I can see what you're saying, Will, but I would kind of disagree. I would say that the only time it wasn't... I mean, it wasn't sandboxed completely, because once you started a mission... a lot of times you would enter a specific area and you would be put into a linear path until you finished the mission, then you'd be brought back to the main world. But Rage 2 is, it's sort of like, in my opinion, sort of like Pokemon almost. It's completely evolving to this new creation of a world of sandbox, sort of mythical powers. The game is hyper colored, like Borderlands or what Outer Worlds looks like it'll be as well. And those sort of like post apocalyptic, hyper colored, action packed games really, really pop out at me. It's, I think it's going to be exciting. I think that this one might win Action Game of the Year. Just based off of what they've shown us. And I think that if it has a good multiplayer, because they've been talking about the multiplayer kind of weird. They say it's not going to be a staple of the game, essentially. So it's going to be kind of like you're going to have to catch on as they release more, as the game comes out. But based off of how multiplayer goes, I mean, how if your friends can join you, I think that that'll affect... just how, like, repeatable the game can be, if that makes sense.
How repetitive the game is?
No. I mean, like, how much you can go back and replay. Like, me and my friend used to play Borderlands 2. We went through that game 4 times.
Oh, how much replay value it has. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I see. All right. That sounds good. So, that's coming out for, Rage 2, sorry, is coming up for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, yep. Alright, so now we're going to switch gears over to Nintendo only. So we have Yoshi's Crafted World. So it's like Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo. Yoshi for the Switch is a platformer starring Yoshi. He can pause to aim, throw eggs at enemies, or he can consume them, or he can leap into the air and butt stomp down. Yoshi is a versatile. So, new Yoshi game on the Switch. They're basically just upgrading old games, it seems like, Will, to but making them as best as they can be because they're on the Nintendo Switch and it's a handheld.
Yeah, I'm not really that interested.
Yeah, same. Brittany might be interested, actually. So I might get her into that, but... All right, so now we have Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. So Crash Team Racing originally came out... on the PlayStation 2, I think?
I don't remember. It might have even been the 1.
Oh yeah, it was the PlayStation 1. It was basically the Mario Kart equivalent on the PlayStation 1 that some folks swore by. And in 2019, it's coming back. The original game is being recreated in loving, ridiculous detail for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch. So, Activision developed this. So, that I was just going to say, why are they... Because Crash was a PlayStation exclusive.
It was.
It was, yeah. So, they must have had a contract for a certain amount of years, and then once that expired, Activision was like, yeah, why don't we just put it on everything?
Probably.
So.
More money in it.
All right, so anyways, there's an addition to all the original racers and tracks, and the new game is online racing as well. So something that obviously didn't happen back in the day because PlayStation 1 was pioneering the world with discs. Anyway, so since this game's reboot of an older game, it comes with a lower price tag, just $40. And that's June 21st, 2019.
Not bad. That'll be about $50 for Canada.
Yeah, something like that. All right, so we're basically at E3 time now.
Which I think we'll leave it to end around.
Yeah, so like we were talking about, I think the games like we're most excited for, Anthem, obviously, which we've talked about in the last podcast. Kingdom Hearts 3, I think, is going to be fan-fickin-tastic. Far Cry New Dawn, for sure, is going to be a winner.
Crackdown
3. For sure going to be a winner. Metro Exodus, I think, is going to be a really good game. I'm actually excited to see Cole stream it because I want to know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Then Devil May Cry 5 is going to be great. The Division 2, we'll see. Yeah, so it's looking like a good year. So,
Mortal Kombat, Days Gone, Sekiro. There's another one. In February, we also have Jump Force.
Yes, Jump Force, right. We forgot to talk about that one.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you were going to bring up instead of the One Piece, whatever the fuck it was.
Well, you were already past February. You were in March now, so.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Too fast.
Well, hey, we're almost at an hour here on the podcast. 50 minutes, and we just got to June, so.
The only game that is coming out before summer, or by summer, that I can see that we haven't mentioned for myself is Biomutant. I think that game, I think this is going to be the year of hack and slashers. I think that all these games are going to come out, and it's going to be really just exciting for everyone who is in the hack and slash genre, as well as people who are looking to get into it as well. I think that between DMC5, Sekiro, and Biomutant, as well as Final Fantasy VII, they're making a remake. I think that it's going to be a good year for hack and slashers. And for fans of RPG, do not fear. We didn't talk too much about RPGs, but we have Outer Worlds, we have BGE2, Jedi Fallen Order, Dreams, Last of Us 2. There's a bunch of RPGs that are coming out later in the year.
Yes, and on that note, I think we'll sign off here. So thanks a lot for checking out our show. If you have anything to say about what we were talking about today, jump on our Facebook page and our other social media outlets, which you can find on our website, videogamesnow.ca. And we are very excited for the next year coming, and we hope you guys are as well. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.